You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh my god. This is Hungover, a new mini-series where we follow some of our favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage.
We're going to be checking in with these artists before rehearsal, during rehearsal, seeing the process, and then afterwards during performances.
So you'll get a unique perspective on their journeys to getting back to normal.
So grab your hair of the dog, because this is Hungover.
Cheers.
Oh, listen to that clink.
We've never had a real glass clink before.
I know. It's been a while. Uh-huh. Welcome to this week's episode of Hungover, the Equity One miniseries where we... I'm distracted because we have wine.
Yeah, and I was doing the local...
Okay. Hold on. The Equity One... We haven't recorded in a while. The Equity One miniseries where we chat with some of your favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage. Correct. I'm Elliot.
And I'm Caleb. Welcome.
And we have with us here today, Brittany Coleman. Hi.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
Welcome. Yes. This is our first episode. Now, this is a treat because you're actually our first episode with our new wine partner,
Ooh.
Intermission Cellars. We are having the Octave. We're having Octave today.
Yes.
And here is Kristen Pirro and David Gorton to tell you a little bit about the wine.
Let's talk about Octave. Why Octave? In music, an octave is a musical interval embracing 8 diatonic degrees. This wine has 8 grape varietals that create a blend that is sure to serenade your palate. Each note or varietal builds upon the next to create a lush orchestral sound. Octave is fruit-forward, full-bodied, and velvety. Each varietal was separately aged in French and American oak barrels for 3 years, blended by taste, then returned to neutral barrels for a total of 5 years. This wine is sure to impress any level of connoisseur. We encourage you to taste the passion, excitement, and balance. Embrace it like a good piece of music and sip those harmonies.
David dedicates this performance to the music teachers. This blend is 25% Cabernet Sauvignon, 20% Zinfandel, 19% Merlot, 10% Malbec, 10% Syrah, 7% Cab Franc, 5% Sangiovese, and 4% Petit Verdot.
A true Bordeaux blend.
To order Octave or any of the Intermission Cellars wines, you can find us at www.intermissioncellars.com.
Cellars with a C. And you can find us on Instagram at Intermission Cellars.
What do we think, gang? Let's take a sip.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
ASMR. Oh.
Ooh.
That's good. It's really,
Do I say spice? Is there a spice to it? I mean,
I got immediate, like that kind of, like, immediate reaction with my kind of gross but saliva. Just, like, it's very, I got, like, a sour
Life.
Kind of fruity moment.
Okay. Yeah, I got a little bit of spice in there, because this is the blend, right?
Yeah, the blend, yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot
mix.
Happening.
Best
yeah.
of both worlds.
Smooth with a bite, though?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
It's delicious.
I want this, like, we're getting into fall, but as fall goes on, like, I want this, like, when, yeah. like, the leaves are falling, mm-hmm. and, like,
oh, yeah.
I have a sweater on and jeans and some boots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of. Mm-hmm. I'm trash, so I usually have my red cold with...
Do you pull it from the fridge, or do you put ice cubes
no,
in
I
it?
No, I put ice in it.
Ooh!
It's bad.
Ooh-wee!
But this, don't need to do that with. I'll just drink this at its proper temperature.
Mm-hmm.
It's working
lovely.
For me.
It's very light.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the whole bottle. Thank you so much.
Yes. Cheers. See you on the other side. Goodbye.
So Brittany is about to start rehearsals for the company revival.
Mm-hmm.
And I had tickets to see it, like, right as things were shutting down, because our schedule had just changed to where we could see things. So I was very sad to throw those tickets away.
just threw them away in the trash.
Well, because I don't know how many people had tickets for things, but
yeah,
it was just like got a refund pretty immediately.
Good.
But it was just kind of sad. Like, I had my little like ticket envelopes in my backpack.
It says like March 17th on it.
Yeah, like... and I just never threw them. I finally threw them away because I was like, okay, enough of that time.
Yeah, that time
has to go.
Let it go.
But before we get into talking about that, we first like to start our episodes by asking our guests what first got them interested in the arts when they were young.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. Well, this is a fun story that I like to tell. So I was really shy and introverted as a little kid. Like, I had no idea what I wanted to do or anything. So I had a wonderful, very ambitious music teacher when I was in elementary school. He came in when I was in third grade. And he said, instead of a spring or fall concert, we're going to do 45-minute versions of musicals. So I need every student to come up and audition. We'll audition you in groups, and I'll pull the leads out, and then everybody else will be in the chorus in the background. And he cast me as Mary in The Secret Garden when I was in third grade. I had no idea I could sing before that or that I even enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah, I was so shy. I don't know. My parents wanted me to be in choir. I guess they had an inkling, maybe. But I said, absolutely not. You want me to do what? Mm-mm. No, thank you. And it took this teacher really pulling me from out of the chorus to come and sing, you know, I need a place where I can go. But, like, I listened to the cast recording, and I think I developed some sort of British accent when I was little, too. It was just so, so hilarious and strange. And then the rest is history. We kept doing the musicals in elementary school and West Side Story, a little Gilbert and Sullivan. Whatnot.
That's
yeah.
so cool that, like, that this teacher, and, like, so many teachers do, but, like, just adapt to what they see or what they feel students need and are able to, like, go against curriculum or, you know, the norm of how to do things to go get so creative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that you tell that story because all these wines are, like, dedicated to people. And Octave is dedicated to music teachers.
Wow.
Look at that.
Perfect.
Like, say, look at
that.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But that's amazing that, that, like, that was catered like that.
Mm-hmm.
After that first performance, you're like, oh, I want to keep doing this? Or did he have to keep pushing you along? Or was it just, like, snapped?
I think I got bit by the bug.
Yeah,
I definitely got bit by the bug after that. Uh-huh. I auditioned for everything after that. And, we had a nice full circle moment when I was doing Tootsie. I got to get him tickets to come see me when I was
on. Oh,
it was
fun.
Just really special.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
In Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. The top of the hand, right? Where is that?
It's in the
So one of my pandemic activities was getting a tattoo. It's a very Michigan tattoo. We like to, like, you know, get something where your hometown is. So I know it's a podcast. But on my left hand, you can see that there are two stars. I like to call these the Neverland stars.
The second star to the right.
Is on Ann Arbor right there.
I love that.
Yeah, so that's where it is. And, like, this is where Detroit is, on the edge, Lansing in the center.
In the middle.
Ohio's down here.
Yeah, I know. I'm from Ohio, so, like, we will get into that.
It's fine. It's
I didn't go to Ohio State, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, we're fine.
But there's this great deli in Ann Arbor,
Zingerman's.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
I visited a couple times. I'm like, this deli is, like, amazing.
Oh, yeah. You just get plain sandwiches for $25. It's so expensive, but delicious.
Very yummy.
It's so, like, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever we have famous people or, like, fancy people come into town, that's where they go. Like, Obama will be in town, and you see him at Zingerman's or, you know, any other.
Very casual.
Very casual.
Anyway.
What are they, like, known for? Like, is it a specific sandwich, or is it just, like, the deli? Like,
I think it's the deli overall. Yeah. They definitely have, like, their hits of sandwiches. Yeah. Like, the corned beef Reuben is a big one. I always get the Charlie M tuna. That's the number 14 with the tomato bisque.
Oh, my God.
We love a bisque.
I love restaurants with numbers.
Yes.
Oh,
I think that's so, that's such like a mood. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll have the seven.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you, or are you a number ordering person or are you a name ordering person? I'm really more of a name ordering person.
I'm like, I order the same thing and everywhere I go, unless it's like a new restaurant. So like, I'm just like, I'm by the name, even if it was a number.
Yeah.
What do you order?
I mean, like, this is so awful.
If it's the same thing.
Taco Bell is my like worst food. Fast food.
But do you want to? Do you
can't say no.
Do you want to tell the people your dirty secret, yes. your dark secret about when you order Taco Bell
when
and
I order
how you ruin my entire reputation?
So like, I can't let people know that I'm ordering Taco Bell. Now they have this new thing where you put your name up on the board. If you haven't gone, they do that. Oh, sorry, no. I say Elliot M is my name, so people don't know that it's me ordering. Like, how many Elliot M's do you know? Like. I only know one.
Oh. Absolutely dragging me.
Savage.
Reading me.
Amazing.
No, so I started putting Caleb's names.
Yeah. Two
completely.
We're going to deal, yeah. So, yeah.
And did you went to school in Michigan too, right?
I went to the University of Michigan.
Yes, there it is.
The Michigan difference, go blue.
Go blue.
Yep. Now, what was it like to go... Because I feel like so many of us go far. Caleb and I both went really far away from school. What was it like to go to school literally where you grew up?
Truly in my backyard. My parents' house is maybe 5 minutes away from campus.
Nice.
So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up like as, you know, a punky little teenager, considering our central campus as the downtown area. Uh-huh. So I knew like where all the bubble tea places were.
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
You know, get your late night pizza and kebabs, all that fun stuff. And then when I went to college, it was just a completely different take on the city. I saw it from a completely different light, and I really enjoyed it. It was
Did you live on campus?
I lived on campus, absolutely.
You're like, I'm paying state school money, like, I'm getting
Actually,
the full experience.
Yeah. That in-state tuition is like a fraction of out-of-state. Yeah. So I told my parents, I was like, this is so fun. Aren't you so glad I'm staying in town? Goodbye.
Yeah.
I'll see you on the weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do laundry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. And get leftovers, that was a big thing too. Mm-hmm. Or if I needed the car. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Love you.
Definitely like the perks.
Yeah.
It's like once you reach a certain age, like the perks of being home and like you have to like weigh whether it's worth the time.
Mm-hmm. Spent.
Outside of your normal independent life.
Yes. Absolutely. Balance.
Yes.
That's
yes.
And so then if you're, you know, you're growing up in Ann Arbor, you go to school in Ann Arbor, then when you move, I mean, what was that experience like having, like, been in really one place and then hitting a completely new environment?
Jarring.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so glad. I visited a couple times when I was in school. We came out to the city to go support other UMich folks in the mafia, that kind of thing. We call it the Michigan Mafia.
Sure, yeah.
So I kind of knew what to expect in terms of the tempo of the city. It just moves at such a fast pace compared to Ann Arbor, where everybody is, you know, Midwestern and friendly and everybody drives and, you know, they're helpful. Whereas New York, like, if you blink, like, you'll get run over by someone or a car or a bus or something like that.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew what to expect, but I definitely had to adjust. I definitely moved to Queens first, which I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
Queens has much more of like a family vibe than Manhattan.
It feels college towny sometimes. Like when you're walking down, you're like, you see all the houses and you're like, okay.
Yeah. I wanted my view of the sky. Like I was really intimidated by all the really tall buildings. Is that a weird thing to say? I don't know.
No.
Maybe.
No.
But it was nice to just see, you know, like 2-story condos
and
blue skies and trees and that kind of thing. So I needed a little bit of an adjustment that way.
Yeah. But, I feel the same way. I lived in Astoria when I first moved here.
Yeah.
And it was a good kind of like
buffer
little bottleneck into the life. It's quiet.
Yeah. I've never lived in Astoria. I have for like a week when I was like living with you.
Oh yeah.
On a blow up mattress.
Yep.
But
hoo-wee.
Manhattan gal all the way for me.
Mm-hmm. No. I hear that.
It's just me.
Yep. Yeah. I'm in Manhattan now too.
Oh yeah. I mean, hello, please.
I love that N train, but
gotta get home.
Like,
yeah.
We're very pro Manhattan on this podcast. We will shame people who live in Brooklyn. Just this is how we roll.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Brooklyn for happy hour. Let's just say
That. Okay, thank you. Everybody's like, Brooklyn's so trendy. And I'm like, but it's so inconvenient.
Yeah.
So inconvenient.
For our business, it's just, I can't do it.
I always have a good time when I'm out there. It's just like getting myself out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And getting back, though, like, yeah. if you're meeting people for drinks, and then it's like you either are taking a crazy expensive car home,
yes.
or you're, like kind of drunk coming off and, like, riding the train, and it's, like, a train you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. It's, like,
mm-hmm.
not my vibe.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm.
Not my vibe.
Oh, man.
So what was your, like, early pandemic Manhattan life like? Did you stay in the city? Like, bring us back to March.
Oh, yeah. So let's see. We were in previews for Company, and I was in a fitting when we got the call to say, don't come to the theater tonight because mm-hmm. there's no show. There won't be a show for another 2 weeks. So yeah. just hang out for 2 weeks. And I went, okay, sure. So I went home, and then, of course, the calls kept coming and saying, yeah. you know, oh, 4 more months. Oh, next year, sometime in yeah. the spring, maybe the summer. I don't know. But I got really, really lucky because March was right before, let's see, all of the spring holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the sounds of the city.
I know, yeah. Sorry. Welcome.
Speaking of, yeah. I mean, I guess let's set the scene.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Actually, yeah. I was up in the Heights and that's what it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just in my apartment and I got really lucky because one of my other castmates, Catherine, hey girl, she worked for a company called Sing for Hope, which is a arts education and empowerment not-for-profit put together by a lot of Juilliard folks. And they get arts out into nursing homes and hospitals around the tri-state area.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen those Broadway decorated pianos around town, that's also them. Yeah. And so they were doing what are called Sing for Hope grams. So, you know, they would send me someone who loved either Sondheim or a Carole King fan or something like that and say, hey, we've got a fan of Beautiful and it's their mother's birthday. Will you sing a song for them and wish them a happy birthday?
Cool.
And that was great. So I did that for many months and that turned into Zoom concerts for nursing homes, which was wonderful.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hilarious yeah. and wonderful. They just let me do whatever I want for an hour and got to chat with them and everything.
It was like you.
It was just
an
me.
Hour. And then were you seeing like all yes. squares of different
people?
Yep. 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 And they were all distanced and a lot of folks in wheelchairs. Uh-huh. It was just like, it was so lovely to see their heads bopping around. And I had my own tracks and everything that I would play over Zoom. So I got very tech savvy,
yeah.
which is a great skill set to add to my list.
yeah.
As we all did, we had uh-huh. to become our own engineers, producers, designers.
Lighting designers, yeah.
Yeah. So that was really special. That's really kind of what I've been up to as far as like being an ambassador for Sing for Hope. So
that's really cool. And I mean, like, what a time for, and those are the people who needed something the most.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
they were
so isolated,
yes.
the most vulnerable. Like that must have been
a joy,
light yeah. for them too.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been also able to, like, you know, there's been some work, far
yes.
few and far between during this time, but you've been
yeah.
pretty lucky to
bouncing.
Be
yeah.
able to.
I've been really lucky. I worked 2 full equity contracts mm-hmm. this year.
That's
and
incredible.
1 non-equity contract on top of that.
oh.
It was a concert.
Okay.
It was a non-equity one. anyway. It's our podcast.
Yeah.
no, it was
but
a non-equity. It was
non-jurisdictional.
Yeah. Just very casual. Just...
It was a concert. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
wasn't
it was
any choreography, right?
Yeah.
Wink.
Certainly not. No, it was in a tent. It was mic in hand. Yeah. All other equity actors who were part of this concert 6 nights a week for a month. Yeah. So I got to work 1 of those and 2 full equity productions.
2 approved.
2 equity approved productions. And they were both Camelot. So that was really fun. The first one I did was in Florida.
Oh, we know the
yes,
Oslo.
The Oslo Repertory.
Yes.
Theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did West Side Story and Elliot did Guys and Dolls the season after me.
Oh, yay. Okay, so then I did Music Man right after that,
after.
More or less. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was the first
like,
time
boom,
I worked
boom,
in Oslo.
Boom,
yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Just
love
fans
that.
Of the Oslo.
Oh,
I mean,
oh, absolutely.
This theater has such great housing.
It's
just
really nice.
Amazing.
It's just so
oh.
lovely.
Oh, guest star. Hold
pause.
What time is it?
I feel like the folks who deliver for Amazon, FedEx, UPS, like they know which apartments are usually around.
Exactly.
And they'll buzz you in.
Yeah,
yeah. You've done this before.
They're going to get a rude awakening from spring.
And then you're like, not
here. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, we're talking about the Oslo. They have great housing.
Yes. We love
we'll
the Oslo.
Oh, yeah. we love drama.
yeah, love. And 3 months, like...
In Florida, in the middle of winter, because we all had winter
the
contract.
Yeah. Music Man was a winter contract. Glorious. Just glorious.
Yes.
So that took place in March, April of this year, pre-vaccine. None of us were vaccinated for that.
Wow.
So that was when Equity was still doing the, you have to be 6 feet apart
Very
when you're
strict.
Speaking. We were outside. They built this beautiful outdoor stage in that little roundabout in front.
Yeah.
And so they put
the
seats in that little roundabout area, which was pretty cool. But we were outside. We had to be 6 feet apart when speaking and 12 feet apart when singing. And it was very, very strict.
Like reaching. Like,
Camelot, too, where I'm used to like making out with folks during
so
the show.
Yeah.
Very strange. But we made it work, actually. We made that text work. And I was really proud of that production. And that was my first show back. So I think there were 7 of us in that cast. And we all became really close because... Yeah. That was the first time all
That's
of us had
know.
Worked,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
and just being potted together, too, mm-hmm. was a really important thing. And
especially in Florida.
Exactly. We were like, okay, I guess we're
like,
traveling in packs.
And, you know, I think we're all kind of figuring out what this life looks like as we're, like, you know, starting to do gigs where, like, you're being regularly tested, but you're still vaccinated. Like, your life kind of changes because you're like, okay, well, I can't. Maybe go out and you know, do the things I might normally do or see extra people that I might normally see because I have to have a livelihood. Like, I have to be able to go to work.
Yeah. You're like, I need to get paid and I'm making money right now and I can't jeopardize that because I was unemployed for over a year.
And I'm sure
and
that was times 100 when the vaccine wasn't even a factor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't even hang out in each other's apartments to an extent.
Sure.
I mean, we were being tested 3 times a week by an external company. We weren't doing our own little, you know, whatever those little lollipop tests are. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. So the stakes were really high. We all really wanted our health insurance
week.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's real.
Yep.
So that was really special and no one got sick. And I feel very lucky that we were able to do that.
Yeah.
Totally.
Hoo-wee. And then, cut to this other production that I just finished of Camelot, where I was making out with 2 people every night.
You're like, bring it on.
Only
like...
being tested once a week. We were all vaccinated. We were also all outside in a field in the Hamptons. Not bad. Not bad.
Gorgeous. Yeah, like, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
think about
sold.
It.
Like,
not bad.
Worse, yeah.
Yeah. And that was special, too, because for that production, a lot of people hadn't worked, you know, in... year and a half.
Yeah.
We're going on 2 years now. So it was really special to see other people experience that as well for the first time. And so I've been really lucky, definitely.
Well, and
count my blessings.
What is it? Because you've also kind of had a roller coaster with getting back to, because with all the developments that we've made with vaccine and safety, you know, many shows kind of were like, we're coming back at this time. And it's like, just kidding, like a few months earlier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what has that been like? You kind of were like, okay, now I'm getting back to work sooner than I even thought. So how are you feeling about like getting back in the room, revisiting
Ooh-wee.
Something you worked on 2 years ago?
Yeah. So we were in previews when we stopped in March and, things were so hectic, you know, previews you're at the show all day, every day, things changing left and right. And this is not an easy show to mount. I mean, there's so many moving parts and I cover Bobby, Jenny and Sarah. And Bobby was my first priority and just trying to figure all of that out. Oh, I'm also on stage every night too.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's a whole other part of like trying to do my own track versus.
Yes.
Know
thyself.
Yeah. You're like watching, but like.
Oh, it was just wild. So all of us were just so overwhelmed, to be honest. And I think all of us are a little anxious coming back into this process, knowing how overwhelming it was beforehand. Like my anxiety is through the roof right now. But everyone's really excited. We had a meeting over Zoom last night with our associate choreographer, and she's going to hold movement workshops with us over Zoom these next couple weeks before we start rehearsals. They'll end in like a meditation so we can get in the right headspace, start building our stamina up. Woo-wee. So I'm just really glad that this team is kind of taking that into account as far as like mental health.
It's so important.
Like it's one thing to do the show, but to be able to show up to work every day, 6 days a week, at the level that we were at before, after being at rest for 2 years, is just wild. So we're taking it in baby steps.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah, that's, it sounds like multiple places are doing that.
Because
when we spoke to Pierre, he said they kind of started rehearsals differently, which is kind of, you know, talking about the year and a half that we've had and where everyone is and all of that. So it's interesting to see how everyone is approaching
addressing that.
Yeah.
I think it's important for everyone to just acknowledge what happened and not just jump right back into it, because that's not going to help anything for the future.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody wants to jump into what it was before.
Exactly.
I think we've all been changed a little bit over this moment in time. And I think we want to come back to an industry that's a little more caring in this direction, you know, take a deep breath one step at a time, you know, like, why are we here in the first place? Mm-hmm. Like, let's just touch back with the roots of why we are doing what we're doing for a living. It's kind of amazing.
It really is. And it's like such an exciting time right now.
Yeah.
To be alive.
I mean, and so you're gearing up for rehearsals. What are you most looking forward to about getting back in that room?
I think the people. I think just seeing this group of people in particular, because that was the first thing that I missed in March of 2020, was sharing space with this group of people every day and problem solving and being open with each other. And I didn't realize how much of a family they'd all become. Like, we were really, you know, leaning on each other to keep going and to give it our best when we were all so wildly exhausted.
Yeah.
It was such a special group, and I'm really, really looking forward to just being in that room, laughing, pranking each other, just all the things, hearing those glorious voices. Oh, yeah.
And how special, too, that, like, you know, looking back, March 2020, you all had been working together for a month and a half, 2 months, something like that,
about two months.
The show. Like, and now, and that's the connection you built there. Mm-hmm. And now it's so much more time knowing each other.
Yes.
And so, like, not only is it going to enhance the experience, but I'm sure it's going to enhance the product.
The chemistry.
You have actual real life chemistry now.
Yes.
Yeah.
With those people. And so that's going to be so exciting to watch. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it too.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's such a special show for New York in general. It is a true
New York show.
Love letter to New York City. And we were talking on our Zoom last night about just being alive in general and what that's going to mean to not only us on stage, but to everyone who's in the house, just being a part of it and sharing that energy.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
no, neither had I until someone else brought it up and I went, oh my gosh, that's really the crux of our show. I mean, there are so many different elements, but yeah, I'm really, really excited to be able to come back and tell this story in particular.
Yeah. I love every, I'm so like, I think we all are like just so in love with New York right now. I feel it like, like everything is like New York. Like we're rewatching Modern Love. We hadn't seen it.
So good.
And so we just finished the first season and every single episode I was like, I love New York.
Yeah.
I just love New York. Like it's just like that energy, like any city, anything I see with New York in it, I'm just like, ugh, New York is amazing. It's the best.
I felt that way with High Maintenance. Did you watch High Maintenance?
No, 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 no.
I hear it's great.
It's great, and it's New York-based. It's really fun. It's very Brooklyn. I know we talked about
that. But I forget. Oh, I'm so terrible. I forgot her name. Comedian, and she did a whole New York series on Netflix, and it was like
New York series.
Funny. She's like Jewish woman who just like is kind of grumpy,
Fran.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Leibowitz. Fran Leibowitz.
No, that's the photographer, isn't it?
No, that's Annie. Oh, no. That's Annie Leibowitz.
Yeah, it's so I wanted to say Leibowitz. So then it's Fran Leibowitz.
Yeah,
have you watched her?
Amazing.
Like, it's the best. It's very New York, and you're like, love this.
Mm-hmm. Is it Fran? I'm gonna look it up right now.
Look it
Fran
up, please.
Leibowitz.
I feel like there's been a lot of New York content coming out.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Love you,
iconic.
Fran.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait. Hold on. Okay, this is her Wikipedia bio. Frances Ann Leibowitz is an American author, public speaker, and occasional actor.
Oh,
okay.
Occasional actor? That is such a funny phrase.
It's when you want it.
I'm the occasional
actor.
Right,
when she feels like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have anything better to do.
Describing me in the last year and a half. An occasional actor.
Yes.
Please put that in your bio, like, wherever you are. Great. So we have some, we call these quick cues.
Okay.
This is our back to school questions, okay? Yes.
Okay.
So bring yourself back to like the elementary days.
Yes, 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 yes.
What item of clothing do you treat yourself to for your first day back?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I would get a whole like back to school outfit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like some really fun jeans from Limited 2 in particular. We all remember Limited 2.
Yes.
The sneakers that were like platform Skechers. You remember those?
Yep.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Like were a rainbow belt.
Was that? Could you decorate those? Do they have little
decorate
things?
The...
Or is that now?
I think that's... Are you thinking of like Crocs now?
Crocs are the ones you have, you could insert the things on it. Yeah.
Little charms. Skechers.
Oh, I didn't have those.
Perhaps.
Sound off on Instagram. Sound off in the comments. I don't know.
Have the charms.
I would do like a full outfit. Just one that no one's ever seen before.
Yes.
And then you mix and match it for the rest of the year.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Obviously. Until your birthday or Christmas came along and then you got like something new.
Yeah.
What's the most important supply? You have the pen with the four different inks, journals, or highlighters?
I always loved a journal.
Love a journal.
Yeah, because it came in different colors. You could pick out your color. I would decorate it with stickers.
When
I was like home at my family's place in Michigan, I brought out the tubs to go through everything to get rid of them. And I have a whole journal full of Spice Girl stickers.
Yes.
Yes.
I kept it. I didn't
you had to.
I couldn't throw it out.
What's the best crayon color name?
I know macaroni and cheese is a color.
That's a great one.
But I also want to shout out, nowadays, kids have it so easy. There's a whole, it's like the crayons of the world or something, where it's like all different skin tones.
Skin tones.
Yeah. I just saw that on TikTok, actually. Like, you're like...
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had that because my self-portraits from that age was like, not right. It just wasn't right. It was,
very creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's much better than the like the 16 box.
Yes.
Or the 8.
Yes.
Forbid. Yeah.
The 4. Like, it was just like the
not the 4. Yeah. Not the plastic
the tiny...
pack you get at the restaurant.
Yes. Yeah.
Macaroni grill. Yep.
Okay, speaking of food, do you pack your lunch or do you buy the hot lunch?
I got hot lunch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm,
Wait, so bring us back to like, what was your favorite day? Because it was always the same meal every like, but alternated weeks.
Yes. We used to have, I think it was either Friday or like Thursday or Friday once a month. It was mashed potatoes and like turkey gravy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And we would compete to see who could eat theirs the fastest. We would race for some reason, and like there were a lot of us that would do it. I don't know why, but that memory has stuck with me, like how competitive we got about mashed potatoes and gravy. It was
that
delicious.
Is so wild.
Mashed potatoes was so Thursday weird. For us, so like I like really remember this day, but also like lunch was maybe like 20 minutes. It wasn't a full hour for us, I don't think. Like it was like a quick lunch.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
fully
yeah.
in the morning.
Oh yeah, like
yes. Yeah, like 10:30.
Yes.
It's like insane. Like so crazy.
Did you guys have Domino's pizza?
Yes, on Wednesdays.
All? Okay.
I went to that was when I went to private school. Like but when I went to high school, like
Fancy.
We didn't have
damn, so you had pizza like Domino's at your school?
Yes. Oh. But it was different than what you would get if you were, you know, just ordering it from the restaurant. They gave us like the school version of Domino's always tasted so different. I didn't like it. No. I had to rediscover it in college. Oh, yeah.
In high school, we had like, there was like the normal lunch line and then there was like the express line.
Oh.
Where there were things that were more expensive. So it wasn't like you're kind of like swipe and you get a lunch. It was like you could buy pieces of pizza or you could buy like an Uncrustable or like a pre-made sandwich or something.
Uncrustable. Oh my gosh.
And so I would do pizza a lot there and it was like CC's Pizza. It was
fun. Oh, nice.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We weren't that fancy in high school. The express line. But it was like you could get anything with fries. It was like you want this with fries.
Potatoes with fries.
Yes, potatoes and fries. Like, fries was like the side item.
Yes. Classic.
Favorite class period.
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I guess in high school, choir was always third period. And I think we would have lunch right after that. Mm-hmm. So that little window of time was clutch.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
sure.
The best.
Singing and lunch.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Boom, a little boom. Treat. You sing and then you treat yourself.
Yeah.
We had lunch in the middle of our third block. So like it was like you were either at the beginning of your third, the second, third, or fourth section.
Mm-hmm.
We're stuck on lunch because, like, mine was, like, fifth period, and it was A, B, or C lunch. And I think C lunch was, like, the cool... No. C lunch was the cool lunch because mm-hmm. you got through your whole period mm-hmm. of A and B, and then you got to go to lunch. And it wasn't like you had to go to class, go to lunch, and come back to class.
Uh-huh.
You got to, like, forget it when you were in
yeah,
C.
Yeah, it was tough, like, having the middle section of that lunch because then you had to like either go to like an hour of your class and then go to lunch and then come back for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It was just like not
yeah
worth it.
Not the one.
And choir was my lunch like before my lunch period. So
the best.
It was great.
Did you have that optional like last period of the day? Like we officially stopped at 6th, but then some people could take an extra 7th period in the day.
Ooh.
Oh no.
For like all the extra goody two shoes.
No, we had 7. It was always 7 and you had to like I was an aide for like 7th period sometimes, so like I had a free period. But
yeah. Nice.
We did block scheduling, so I had 4 periods a day.
Oh,
and then we would switch off. So like we had A and B day, so I only had 4 classes each day, and they were an hour and a half.
Oh, that's long.
Wow, that, it was that long. Is long.
Yeah.
Like biology
like
for like
extra,
that long.
It
like,
gave you like an extra day to do like homework.
Yeah, that's good.
Sure.
And I had 2 backpacks, which was just chaos.
Stop.
But
you
it's
had
the
2?
Only,
well, I grabbed my wrong backpack.
It's really the only way to do it because, like, otherwise it's like you're switching out books and stuff every day.
So it's on rotation.
Yeah, so we had 2 backpacks.
Okay, that's brilliant then.
Did you label it? Did you write, like, A,
no, they
B.
just look different.
Okay. Cute. I love that.
And you know how unorganized... Well, I've
I know, that's why I was like,
I've
Ellie, did you
way.
Write A or B on
I've come
like...
a long way. But, you know, there were some times where, you know, maybe I was using a biology notebook for English just in a day if I forgot my backpack or something.
You have to get by sometimes.
But when I had my car, it was never a problem because I just kept them both in the car.
Oh. You had a car. I didn't have a car.
No. Yeah, I did when I was 16. Well, I lived an hour away from my school, so I really had no choice.
A commute.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Last question.
Do what you gotta do.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, fancy, but sure. what's advice that you would give your younger self going into their first day of school?
Stay weird. I don't know. Just be yourself. Like, don't try to be what you think people expect you to be. This is kind of advice I tell myself as a full-grown adult,
yes,
too. But to start implementing that kind of thought process from the beginning, like, that's okay. And it keeps you authentic. And I think that's what's attractive about people is that they are, like, unapologetically themselves.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stay weird.
Yes. Absolutely.
Amen.
Brittany, thank you so much for joining us. We're so excited for you to get back in the rehearsal room, and we can't wait to check in with you a few more times throughout the process. Where can people find you on social media if they want to follow along?
Oh, everything's under my name, Brittany Coleman, on Instagram, on the Twitter, on all the things.
You Twitter? For real?
I do have a Twitter. I don't use it very much.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, I also have a website.
Oh, yeah.
Can we get an intern? Email us at Equity One Podcast if you want to run our Twitter. Because Twitter is hard.
It's hard.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay.
You can find the show at Equity One Podcast on Instagram and TikTok and at Equity One _ on Twitter.
While you're implying about being our intern for Twitter, send us email for other things at equityonepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you're interested in, if you want to hear more.
Any guests you would want to hear from?
Yeah. And while you're at that, switch over to your iTunes app and give us a 5-star rate and review. It helps other listeners find us.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt.
Please.
It does. I know we say it every episode. It makes a huge difference. So huge if you haven't difference. Yet, just go. Even if you don't listen, even if you don't like it, just do 5 stars. 5 stars and then write a negative review. That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine
great.
With that.
Elliot, where can we find you?
I'm at Elliot Maddox on everything. Caleb?
And I'm at Caleb Dickey on everything.
And until next time.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Oh, beautiful.
Perfect.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.